Hey, everybody. Hi, this is Sherry with Simply Celebrate, and I am so excited today to be introducing you to someone who is both a dear friend of mine and also someone whose work in the world I have experienced personally, and I'm a huge, huge fan. I think I might be your biggest fan, Jane. So this is Jane Duncan Rogers, who is the author of Gifted by Grief. And Jane, I'll let you tell us a little bit more about yourself if you want, but hi, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Sherry. Yes, I think you probably are my biggest fan. It's true. How I arrived at writing a book called Gifted by Grief, which is kind of an unusual, it's unusual to put the words gift and grief together, but how I arrived there was way back in 1990, it was my kind of launch into the personal growth world when I trained with Louise Hay. And I then, at that time, you know, there was hardly anybody else doing courses like that around the world. And so I was the first person to do that in Europe, to offer study groups of her book, You Can Heal Your Life. I did for about 10 years. Then I trained as a psychotherapist and counselor, and I had a private practice for another, must have been 10 years or so as well. I've also run a complementary health clinic, but in the last 10 years, I had morphed from all of that into coaching, and that was partly because I had moved to the north of Scotland, where there's many less people than there are in a capital city, and I knew that I would need to go online much more, and that's what I did, and I was coaching people who are holistic business owners to help them get better results in a heart-centered way. And then my husband got diagnosed with stomach cancer, and that kind of stopped us in our tracks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we had 1 year together, that, as it turned out, 1 year before he actually died. And then it was 2.5 years later that I woke up one morning and I just thought, I have got to write about this. And that was the beginning of what turned out to be Gifted by Grief, a true story of cancer, loss, and rebirth, which was published just about 9 months ago, actually, now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of brings us more or less up to date. Well, not quite, though, because one of the reactions from the gifts of people to Gifted by Grief was about one particular chapter, and it was about the questions that Philip and I had asked, well, I had asked of Philip, really, before he died. And these are questions that are quite challenging if you know that you are dying sooner than later, like, you know, the obvious one, which is, do you want to be buried or do you want to be cremated? But there's a whole lot of others, like how do you want the body to be dressed, or and practical things like what kind of passwords do you have that I don't know about? For me, I needed to know information about the car. I mean, that's just a tiny taste of some of the questions that we asked. And people really liked these practical questions, and they could see how important they were. And that led to my latest book, Before I Go, Practical Questions to Ask and Answer Before You Die. And that, of course, is the course that you did with me, Sherry.
Yes.
Kind of brings us up to date.
And I know, you know, you covered a lot of material in a small amount of time. Like, I mean, it's, you know, I felt myself sort of like my heart just, you know, start beating a little bit more quickly. I mean, when you talk about your husband's death and how, you know, that sort of catapulted you into this whole world. I mean, of course, the grief and then all of the gifts that you discovered. And I think that was, when you were publishing that book, was right about the time that I sort of really got to start to know you and your work. And I was so moved, just so moved by just the title, right? And you know that my work involves gifts a lot, the gifts of the moment, actual gifts we give. And so, of course, there was an immediate resonance for me, but I was like, wow, you know, the gifts of grief. And it's so beautiful. And I know that there are a million ways we could go with this conversation, but I'm going to start also with, you know, sort of the latest with the course, because I recently just finished taking that course with you, and that's why I wanted to get you on the phone, because I thought this was one of the best courses I've taken, and I truly mean that, Jane. It's amazing.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And the thing that, you know, I want to say first and foremost, that was the biggest surprise. I mean, I knew I wanted to take the course when you started talking about it, because I want to be prepared, you know, for my own death in so many ways, emotionally, logistically. I want to be, you know, help my family. But what I loved so much, and I want to start here, is how much fun we had in that class. Don't you think?
Yeah, we did. You know, I've done some live courses here in Scotland, and the same thing has happened. I never expected that. You know, it's kind of, when you're talking about death, it's like people expect it to be a somber subject, but actually we did have quite a lot of laughter. There's quite a lot of black humor flies around about death. And I think it's really healthy, actually, and it enables us to be able to talk about it. A subject that can be, you know, that can spark off many different emotions, but I think it's really great that included laughter as well. And actually,
yeah.
It reminds me.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'm just reminded of another joke that when my husband was first diagnosed with stomach cancer. And I was telling my family, and I told my brother, and, you know, he was commiserating, and, you know, at that time we were hopeful that would be a good outcome. And he said to me at the end of the conversation, well, think of it this way, your food bills will go down. And I was like, oh, I mean, I just thought that was so funny. I found that really hilarious. Now, I don't suppose everybody would do that, but I loved it. I loved it that he was able to say that in the first place and not feel bad about it, and secondly, that a joke could be made, you know?
Yeah,
very important.
And it is very important, and it's not that we were making fun of everything, or it's not that there weren't moments. I mean, of course, there were lots of moments where I think each of us in the class went through certain emotional, you know, peaks and valleys. However, the reason I wanted to stress the humor and the joy is because it's all there. And I think in so many ways, like, that's so much of what my own work is about. And I project onto you too, that it's like that we want to live the whole gamut of human emotions up until and beyond when we die, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's what we forget in this country about, we're not very good we're actually not that good at being willing to embrace all the emotions. What we like to do is only have the ones that we like and that make us feel good. And we're not very willing to have any of the ones that, you know, that we don't like experiencing. But actually, it's, you know, they are all there and they are part of life. And that includes death. So we can't get away from it. So my mantra about this is always to invite people to, when the emotions come knocking at the door, you, instead of trying to keep them away by locking the door and pulling down the blinds and everything, which is usually what we do when, you know, grief or fear or anger come to visit, instead, just open the door, let them come in, open the back door of the house as well, so that they can easily flow out again. Because it will happen if you can allow it to happen.
Yes, Jane. And when you were saying that, one of the things that dropped in for me that I kept feeling during this class of yours is that by being able to open that door and let some of those emotions come in and some of the difficult questions and feelings, I kept feeling this gratitude that, like, you know, if something happens to me that, say, you know, I only have a few days or a few weeks or even a year to live, I've already gotten to work through so much of this stuff so that when that time comes, I'm kind of hoping that I'll have more time to just be present with the people that I love and the time that I have, rather than at that point trying to wrestle, you know, with some of these, these questions and difficult emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's when you start to think about things like how you want the end days of your life to be, ideally, this is of course an ideal situation, or what you want to actually have happen after you die, and you know, there's a whole range. Some people don't care at all what happens, and other people are very clear about what they want to have happen. When you start to think about that, you can't. It does stir up some emotions sometimes, but it's if you can do it when you're healthy. If you can face up to the fact that, yes, it could happen, it's unlikely that you're going to just drop down dead any minute, but it could happen, it does happen, then what you're doing is you're taking care of it at a time when you are less likely to be emotionally involved. I mean, you know, it was difficult for Philip. As it turned out, we were asking these questions about 4 months before he died. But the thing is, when somebody is dealing with a life-threatening illness, as I'm sure some of your listeners will know, you don't actually know when somebody is going to die. You know, you can't tell in advance. It's only afterwards that you can look back and you can say, oh, yeah, it was, you know, 3 months or 10 months or whatever it was. Until somebody is actually dead, actually, you know, you're living. And
yeah.
When you're living, when you're alive, you get the full flow of emotions. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, it's like a couple things when you were saying that. I mean, one is that I think, you know, the work you're doing, that's another reason why I love it so much is that, you know, it's important at any point. I mean, and I love that you kept stressing that. You know, there was such a gentleness of, you know, whether we were doing this, you know, some of the people I think maybe were much younger than me, maybe in their 30s. Other people were midlife, like me, hopefully midlife, you don't know, but, you know,
yes.
And then, you know, people who are sick or who are sort of, you know, more in that, you know, is looking a little more likely.
Yes.
And I love that at any stage we can do this work, but again, I just feel so lucky for myself that, you know, now I've kind of done, I mean, I haven't finished all of it, but I've done a big bulk of it, and yeah, it's like there's just a sort of a sense of just relief. Like, oh, this is – I've had so many conversations with my family during the course of your program, and mm-hmm. it's such a relief. And I can tell for them, too. There's like,
yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, it's impossible to do this work really without having at least one conversation with at least one family member.
Yes.
Because, you know, it is about communicating. And, you know, when you start talking about this sort of thing with people, if they're willing to go there, all sorts of maybe unexpected things can happen. You know, you've mentioned relief. Other people have mentioned it's brought them peace of mind. Gratitude has been huge. People feeling incredibly grateful, and grateful that the topic has been brought up. Grateful for the fact that when you start to embrace death into life, then you get very grateful for what you have got right now. You get really grateful, and that, you know, it's wonderful being grateful. It feels fantastic.
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought that up because that actually was one of the greatest things for me too during this program. As you know, I'm fond of saying, you know, talking about death brings me to life. And it really does because anytime, and it's why for all of my life I've loved to read the obituaries, and I love being reminded that our time here is limited because it makes me remember I want to be loving, I want to be present, I want to be excited,
yes.
I want to, you know what I mean? It brings me to like, whoa, you know, I want
yes.
to be here. And
yeah,
your class
does,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking that what you say there, it's like, it's really, in a funny sort of way, it is a class about being here right now in the present moment and enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't say any of that, but that is actually what happens.
It is, right?
Mm.
And you know, it's like this interesting paradox in a way, too, because that's so true. It's like taking your class, And you know, all the way since I think it's been over for a few weeks now, but it's like there is that more, expanded sense of being alive and being grateful for my life. And I've also noticed a deeper willingness to accept the losses. You know, I haven't had a huge, loss like a death in my life, but there have been many losses. And I think your class has also given me sort of this wider circle of acceptance of loss, because we've been talking about these huge losses, and it makes the other ones like a little bit more bearable, or a lot more bearable.
Yes, it's interesting because it does put it into perspective. And yet, I think, you know, like this morning I was doing an interview with somebody else who where we were contemplating whether or not you can compare death and divorce. So I'm saying you can't compare death and divorce, but there are similarities. And that was really important because in our societies, you know, we do pay attention to death. We have a ritual around it, a funeral. Of course you have to because there is a body. You know, you have to deal with it. But it's kind of permissible to be grieving when somebody has died, you know, and people tend to know about it. When you're getting divorced, people don't necessarily know about it. They don't. It's not necessarily understood that actually you're going to be going through maybe some of the same kinds of emotions that you might be going through after somebody has died. But the same thing in terms of dealing with the practicalities applies to anybody in that situation as well. If you're willing and you have the courage and you're up for getting the added benefits of dealing with the practicalities like we're talking about now, then you get the chance to, people use that phrase, put your life in order, but it's a lot more than that, actually, because we don't, as you know, we didn't just cover doing the legals, and of course, you know, that is a very personal situation, your own, the documentation that is legal in each different country, but there's lots more areas that we cover, and a lot of it is to do with conversation, and it's out of the conversation that the relief and the peace of mind and the fun and the laughter and actually the joy can come as well. Words that you would not normally associate with death, divorce, loss, or any other of those sorts of things. Yeah.
Yes, and Jane, you know, again, the work that you're doing, and I'm glad you brought that up about divorce, because I feel like the work that you're doing is a foundation for what it is to be human and how we can open up. I mean, I think your Facebook group that you have is even says, you know, conversations around. But I think your work is conversations around being human. And by, like, just when you said that about divorce, I was thinking, now that I've taken this class with you, I feel more able to have hard conversations around all sorts of other things, or to be willing to, like, sit with people who are grieving in many different ways, in a new way.
Yes, it's interesting that. It's like once you begin to come to terms with it in your own life, which for some people, you know, they're really scared of that. But once you're able to do that, then you can be present with other people as well, at whatever stage they are at, because you have more compassion. It just seems to be there.
Yes, yes. Oh, that's so, I didn't even see that, but that's so true. It is a practice of growing compassion, starting with ourselves, with our own deepest fears. I mean, I think dying and death, I mean, it's like our deepest, deepest, most oftentimes hidden fears. And when we can find the compassion to be with ourselves, and again, what I want to say about your course is that it created a little safe community, which is also really important, because that's very different than me being by myself trying to hold or explore these sorts of things. But to be in a safe community, that's like so wonderful.
Yeah, and it makes it much easier actually to deal with the questions, because everybody's got to face the same questions, but they all have different points of view or different answers or different reactions or responses to them. And, you know, this is why I set this up, because the questions, not all of them, but the essence of the questions are all in the back of my book, Gifted by Grief, the ones that I asked Philip, plus a few more. But so many people said to me, these questions are great, but I'm just not getting around to doing it, that it made me realize, okay, people need some help to actually do this. And that's how the group started, because it was so much easier to do it when you're doing it in the company of other people. It just works.
And, yeah, I think I was probably one of the people who said that to you, too, because I remember feeling, you know, pretty embarrassed. The fact that, you know, people have been following me for a while know that I have been exploring, you know, conversations about death and looking at end of life. And yet, as much as I'm someone who really advocates for thinking about it and talking about it, I hadn't done a lot of the, you know, at the time I was thinking, oh, I want to take Jane's class for the sort of legal aspects. You know, I want to get all that legal house in order. But when I took your class, I realized, like, there was just a whole gamut of things that for, again, whatever reason, even though I'm such an advocate for it, I hadn't done it. And so, yeah, I think you're right. It's like, of course, it's all available out there, right? We all know, like, here, you know, or like you said, we could get your book and see it. But to be able to explore it within that group and with you, I mean, here's the other thing. I felt like you really, you led us on a little journey. And that's an important piece of it too, right? Where to start, how much, how to treat ourselves as we're going along, all of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I do love leading groups. That helps. And I guess you're right. Yes, it is a journey. But it's a journey of tenderness, a journey of compassion, a journey of it's a very self-loving journey in a strange sort of way, because you wouldn't necessarily think that to start with, but that's what it turns out to be. And just imagine that you're doing a journey with that, with those kind of qualities, with amongst your, you know, fellow companions, you know, whom you don't know to start with, but then as you journey along, you discover a whole lot more about them. And it's nourishing, I think, is the word that comes to mind. I feel nourished by it, and hopefully everybody else does too.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to also say that it's like back to that piece of beyond, like it seems like a lot of things sort of happen in the class that we didn't even talk about, which I find fascinating. Like, you know, and so like one of the other things that just dropped in for me that feels so important. After I took your class, I really got clear on some things that are very important to me that I was not sort of, you know, bringing into my life. You know, in particular, a book that I've been wanting to write for a long time. And because of your class, you know, I think what happened is it catapulted me to end of life and thinking, like, if I don't do this, that's going to be a huge regret. That's going to be such a huge regret. And I want to be so kind to myself that I want to do this. And I want to do it now because now is all I have.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. How lovely. Ooh, I look forward to hearing more about that then.
But I'm sure, you know, I'm sure for a lot of other people that same thing, even though we never sat down and said, okay, we're talking about end of life. What do we want to do before, you know, like what are some really important things? Or, you know, we may have covered that a little bit, but like that was a really strong benefit for me. I'm still really feeling that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it affects people in different ways, you know, like because we don't do that as a particular exercise, but yes, it is a kind of side effect, if you like. And, you know, it reminded me of one of the other participants who was so delighted when she, because she was on the course, she had a reason that she had to talk to her husband about their particular blended family arrangements, which was quite, they were quite complex, and she hadn't managed to do this before because her husband wasn't really up for it. But she had homework to do now. And in that context, he was willing to talk to her. And the result of that was that they ended up having a long, in-depth conversation about all sorts of things that including this, which was clearly needed in their family and very beneficial. And, you know, I couldn't have predicted that. It was wonderful.
Jane, you know, I don't think I had a chance to tell you this, but I have sort of a similar thing. I know in our class I talked a little bit about my own family and my mom and sort of feeling really, you know, uneasy or uncomfortable, you know, bringing the topic up with her because I love her so much. And who wants to, you know, you don't want to talk, you know. And I happened to be visiting my mom just, you know, a couple weeks after the class ended. And sort of a similar thing. I found that it was an easy place for me to begin by saying, you know, I was taking this class and I just wanted to tell you here are some things that I'm looking at for myself and I want to make sure you feel comfortable with this, mom, you know, because she has a different religious background. And that opened a door in the same way. Like, I didn't have to say, we're going to talk about your death, right?
Yeah.
Like, how that just, oh, even saying it's so hard.
Yeah.
But just in a context of like sort of, and we were in a good mood and laughing about stuff. And so it had that same, the same tone that our class had, which was, you know, we can bring some life into this conversation.
Yeah. Yes. Isn't that interesting? It's, gosh, that's great to hear about your mom, though I didn't know that. And that is really, that's, it's kind of like by doing these very practical things, we all give ourselves permission to enter into an arena that, you know, many people are scared of entering into, but we all recognize that we have these practical things that need to be taken care of, otherwise all sorts of trouble can happen. And it's kind of like we can then all benefit from whatever it is that we then find in our own particular situation, that can be beneficial, and that's lots of different things because it depends on people's individual situations, obviously. But I get a lot of pleasure, you know, when somebody tells me that as a result of, like one of the people emailed, I think, after just the first 2 weeks to say that she had finally managed to get a will put in place with a guardian name for her child. Now, you know, that is actually a very basic thing that needs to happen. And most people know that they need a will, but most people don't have a will. But especially if you have a child, an underage child, and you need to be able to specify a guardian. And, you know, for me, knowing that she had done that, it was, I felt relieved. You know, I don't even know her child.
But exactly.
It was so good that she had been spurred into action to do that.
And the other thing that's coming, we probably have so many stories, but it's like also one of the things that really moved me was the way that, like, especially when we were talking about our wills and how it moved. I think there were a number of us who were moved to then think, like, you know, I want to write a letter or I want to have a conversation so that it sort of can, so I can have some engagement with people about why I made these decisions. Because all too often, I think we've all sort of had some experience, or we've certainly heard experiences where someone passes away and there's anger and confusion, and it leaves this wake of just negativity and difficulty, rather than what I started to feel that through this class, I want to leave this wake of, like, joy and love and sort of understanding and, like, oh, you know, like there's been a greater connection because of this.
Yes, I think you're right. And a large part of that comes from the understanding, because, of course, if you're having conversations with people, you're going to be telling them what you want, or maybe finding out what they want in whatever situation it is, which bit of the end of life process it is, you know, before you die or after you die or whatever. And when somebody dies and you know what they wanted, that is incredibly helpful. For me, for example, when Philip died, I knew that what he wanted done with his ashes. I knew how he wanted the particular ceremony that we had talked about. I knew what he wanted. I didn't have to make a decision. It was such relief, that. Also, what I hadn't noticed beforehand was I didn't know that it would, in a way, give me a gift, knowing that I was carrying out his instructions. I felt so good doing that. It was really lovely.
Yes. Oh, I just was projecting that when you were saying it. I was awash with this feeling, again, of that it being about continuing the relationship in a beautiful way, rather than I have the feeling that if someone that I dearly love would pass away and I didn't know, there'd be this kind of disconnect. Like, I would be like, oh, I don't know, but, you know, and it wouldn't, there's just a disconnect rather than a beautiful continuation and connection of our love for this person.
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, when you love somebody, you want to do the thing that is going to give them most pleasure. And that continues, actually, even after they've died. It's just a sort of natural extension of feeling love for someone. So when you know that you actually are doing that because they've told you, it's really helpful. It's really helpful.
It is. You know, and I love this because I feel like we could probably continue for hours. Like, there are so many aspects of this work. I know we need to wrap it up, but I want to just ask you to speak for just, you know, a little bit. I know that you're going to be offering a free webinar, and even before that, there's a tool that you have. So maybe you could just speak about the tool that you have so that, because I think what might happen, and I know for me, it's always nice to know, like, well, what's the first step I can take? What's one thing that I could do next in this realm?
Okay. Well, the one thing that I thought about and now offer is for people to take my quiz. It's just a short quiz of 10 questions where you get to answer yes or no to various of the questions that actually are in the workbook. And that will give you an idea of how well prepared you are at this precise moment in time for your own end of life. It's just a taste, you know, there's an awful lot more, but some people, like I had an email from someone today saying, I scored really well on the quiz, thank you very much. And that was really nice to know, you know. Now that in itself will have given them something, it's kind of reassurance, you know. Whereas other people may discover actually there's quite a lot more that they hadn't thought about and they would like to be able to think about. And you know, they can do that by getting a copy of my workbook, or they can join the webinar or my course, or there's a variety of different things. But the quiz is the place to start, definitely.
And I love that you've created something that is really simple, and I know for myself, too, how helpful that can be, even, you know, just looking at those few questions and seeing how I feel when I'm responding.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be giving people the link to that quiz. And, of course, you know, we'll continue to, you know, bring you into the conversations with the Simply Celebrate world, because I, again, like what I said earlier in this call is so true to me, that I really feel like I want us all to celebrate until the very last breath and beyond, right? I want death to be a part of our life.
Yeah. And it's lovely. I really love to have that word celebrate alongside death. You know, I live close to, I'm loosely associated with a spiritual community here in the Fintorn Foundation in Scotland. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, we really are very good at doing death and dying. And one of the reasons is because we consider it a cause for celebration. So there may be a traditional funeral, but there is also always a celebration of somebody's life after they die within our community, which is, a few hundred people. And it's beautiful. It's really lovely in and obviously you can have wonderful funerals as well, but often they're a bit sort of depressing, you know. I was going to say sad, but, you know, sadness is appropriate. Depressing doesn't have to be there. It can be an actual celebration in which you feel sadness and you feel joy and happiness and laughter and grief as well.
Yes, and then, you know, what's so perfect is what you just described is, again, I think what you bring us right now through your work. Like, again, like we're circling, it's like full circle back, right? It's all of it. And to me, when I use the word celebration, to me, oftentimes celebration means being planted right here, right now, and welcoming all of those feelings. But it doesn't have to be, like you're saying, it doesn't have to be like, well, this has to do with death, so it's depressing or morbid. No, you know, it's all there. And I'm excited. I'm so excited, Jane, that we've had this conversation and that we get to continue it, you know,
great.
Hopefully.
That's
hopefully
great.
Indefinitely. Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
I'm just so grateful. And is there anything you wanted to say at the very end of this?
Oh, help. I think I said it all.
Good. No, that's great. I just want to make sure. You know, sometimes I think, you know, again, just leaving people with that, I will post the link to that quiz and that's just one tiny step. And that's, you know, I know that's a big philosophy of yours, to keep things really small and manageable.
Yes.
And you said, tender. So,
yes.
Good. Thank you so much, Jane.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.